You're listening to an audio story from the VIN News Service, an independent advertising-free source for veterinary news. I'm Edie Lau, and I'm reading Surge of Mysterious Respiratory Diseases in Dogs Abates. The article was reported by me and published on February 20, 2024. As a wave of severe respiratory infections among pet dogs in the United States captured widespread media attention in late November, many worried the worst was ahead. Traveling, boarding, and congregating associated with the December holidays would, the thinking went, drive an even greater spike in cases. That didn't happen. Reports from veterinarians and researchers, along with pet insurance data, indicate the wave crested before the end of the year, with cases dropping to usual levels within the first few weeks of January. "It has disappeared as quickly as it appeared," said Dr. John Dougherty, a practitioner in Ohio. "We haven't seen a new case since sometime around Christmas, which is weird because that is a peak time for boarding." Known casually as kennel cough, the phenomenon formally is called Canine Infectious Respiratory Disease Complex, or CIRDC, because no single pathogen has been found to be solely responsible for the spate of illnesses. A clear explanation for the drop-off is as elusive as a definitive explanation of what fueled the wave. Dr. J. Scott Weiss, an infectious diseases researcher at the University of Guelph Ontario Veterinary College, wrote on his Worms and Germs blog last month, "We still don't know what had happened. That's far from surprising because with waxing and waning endemic disease conditions like CIRDC, we rarely have a clear picture of what happened and why. Agents that cause respiratory signs in dogs, like coughing and sneezing, include Bordetella bronchoseptica, Streptococcus zoepidemicus, and Mycoplasma bacteria. Also canine parainfluenza virus, canine influenza virus, of which there are two known strains, canine distemper virus, herpes virus, canine adenovirus, and canine respiratory coronavirus. That last one is like coronaviruses that cause colds in people, not the pathogen behind COVID-19. There are at least a dozen organisms that are involved with the syndrome, some acting by themselves and others in combination with other organisms, said Dr. Michael Lappin, an infectious diseases veterinarian at Colorado State University College of Veterinary Medicine and Biomedical Sciences. Speaking at a webinar last week hosted by the pet insurance company Trupanion, Lappin reported that cases seen by the university veterinary hospital have dropped dramatically. "We haven't had a pneumonia death since January 14. One aspect of the wave that particularly raised concern was that some young and otherwise healthy dogs became seriously ill. Dougherty said that his practice, which serves an affluent community with typically well-cared-for pets, sees 6 to 8 pneumonia cases in a normal year, usually puppies or bulldogs, flat-faced breeds being more prone to respiratory problems. Last year, his practice saw 8 pneumonia cases in an 8-week period, all adults, none with short muzzles. One patient was a German Shepherd mix, aged 6 or 7, who had to be seen repeatedly at a specialty referral hospital to receive oxygen. It took over 2 months for him to make a full recovery," Dougherty said. The dog was one of 2 patients who required multiple visits to a specialty practice for treatment. "That was the other weird thing," Dougherty said. "They'd seem like they'd get better and then relapse. That's not usually the way it works." If the pattern sounds suspiciously like COVID-19 in the early days of the pandemic, more than a few people have wondered whether the canine respiratory phenomenon stemmed from SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes COVID-19. Weiss, who spoke at the same webinar as Lappin, acknowledged the concern, then allayed it. "COVID's the elephant in the room," he said. "There are always a lot of questions of, is COVID driving this? I say, well, COVID might be having an influence, but not because of the virus on the dogs, but because of the virus on us. That influence includes changes in how people interact with their dogs and the veterinary care provided to them," he explains. Weiss recalled that during 2020, dogs were locked down with their people and not visiting veterinarians much, if at all, unless they were very sick. A chart presented by Trupanion of insurance claims for canine respiratory-related visits to veterinarians shows a dip during the first part of 2020 when the pandemic began, then a gradual rise as the year wore on, followed by other downs and ups into 2023. Comparing those waves against the peaks and valleys of COVID-19 among people, we said, makes him very confident that it's not SARS-CoV-2 driving dog cases because the patterns don't overlap. Lappin agreed, noting that when dogs and cats are seen at Colorado State's Veterinary Hospital for acute gastroenteritis or respiratory illness, owners to this day are asked whether anyone in the household has had COVID-19 during the past 10 days. Nothing has emerged to suggest that sick dogs are coming from households that had recent bouts with the pandemic bug, he said. Outbreaks also didn't occur uniformly across the United States and Canada. A map from Trupanion of respiratory-related insurance invoices by selected states and provinces in the fourth quarter of 2023, compared with the same period in 2022, shows pronounced spikes in Colorado, Nevada, Nova Scotia, Ontario, and Oregon, and marked dips in Quebec province and Virginia. Case numbers are not available because no one entity tracks respiratory infections in dogs. We said he monitors outbreaks by talking to veterinarians, including state veterinarians in different areas, looking at the number of calls and emails he receives, and reviewing sporadic data sources such as Trupanion claims. Owing to the lack of absolute case figures, we said, we're mainly focused on trends of increases and decreases. An apparent upward trend in canine respiratory illnesses began before SARS-CoV-2 surfaced. Referring to Trupanion charts showing an overall rise in respiratory-related invoices from 2018 to present, we said, it fits with what some of us have been saying. We think we're seeing more respiratory disease and more cases involving younger dogs and fatalities. We've had this gradual and, I think, pretty clear increase over time that predates COVID and predates all the attention we've paid to it in the last 6 months, he said, adding, as our baseline's going up and up and up, the peaks from these up and downs get a lot more obvious. We're seeing this up and down trend laid on top of this gradual increase. According to Trupanion, the data in its charts are normalized to account for changes in the number of insured dogs from year to year. Without that adjustment, rising numbers of invoices for a particular condition might merely reflect rising numbers of insured pets. Several veterinarians the VIN News Service contacted said they saw spikes in cases of dogs with respiratory illness more during late 2022 than late 2023, which was the period of public focus on the phenomenon. For example, Dr. Julia Norton, who practices in the Philadelphia area, said by email, cases dropped off the last 4 to 6 months. Prior to that, we had about a 6 to 8 month run of sick dogs every week. Now, most of our practices Bordetella and flu vaccinated, or they have already had it. Fortunately, things are back to normal. Similarly, Dr. Keenan Gold, who practices near Charlotte, North Carolina, said by email that Charlotte peaked in cases in the fall of 2022, and we saw a taper down leading into 2023. He credited the taper to several actions. We increased vaccination for influenza and Bordetella to help prevent comorbidities, recommended a switch to pet sitting as opposed to boarding facilities, and had more thorough follow-up on our cases to catch pneumonia at the earliest possible time. We saw these cases with disposable gowns either outside or in an isolation room with strict sanitation practices. Now that the latest wave has crested, is it safe for dogs to return to off-leash parks, daycares, and other places canines congregate? Maybe, maybe not. We're still finding all the regulars, the bugs, the bacteria, and viruses that are always in the background, Lappin said. Anytime we're in a social situation, we're more likely to share these bugs, be it two-legged or four-legged animals. Offered Weiss, risk isn't binary. It's not yes or no. The question for me really is the risk greater now than it would have been any random day? Here's where understanding your situation is important, he elaborated. If you hear a lot of buzz about sick dogs, you see a lot of sick dogs coughing at the dog park, an outbreak at the daycare, well, your risk is probably higher right now for you. Risk differs by the individual, too. Catching a respiratory bug can be more consequential for an older dog or a flat-faced dog, Weiss pointed out, so reducing their exposures to other dogs may be more important than for younger dogs with longer muzzles. On the other side of the equation are the advantages of socializing. Going to the off-leash dog park, if that's your social thing, you love it, you hang out with people there, your dog loves it, you accept some risk, Weiss said. You have to determine how much you're going to accept. If you don't really care about it, you could go to an on-leash park where there's less contact. He continued, if you have to go to work and your dog is better off at daycare than staying in a crate all day or tearing up your apartment, then the daycare is the benefit. Weiss and Lappin agreed that a solid way to reduce all dogs' risk is to keep them up to date on vaccinations, including, for dogs regularly exposed to other dogs, the so-called lifestyle vaccinations against influenza and Bordetella. Besides vaccination, Lappin said, the only alternative form of protection is don't get exposed. You've been listening to an audio story by the VIN News Service, a division of the Veterinary Information Network, the world's leading online veterinary community. Music was composed by Benjamin Olson. This recording is copyright VIN 2024.